Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Friday. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon and Ken Miller with you for the next couple of hours. A lot of ground to cover here on the program this morning. BMW of Des Moines guest list. We've got the following. Bottom of the hour. Mike Palm from Circa will join us at the bottom of the hour. We will pick his brain on the six playoff games this weekend, including a Monday night affair with the Cardinals up against the Rams. Mike Palm from Circa at 10:30. Do a few minutes with Ben Gislason on the Iowa Wild. They've got a significant weekend homestand tonight, tomorrow, and then they're back on Monday, Martin Luther King Day. They have a, I believe it is a matinee affair. Matinee affair down at Wells Fargo. And an interesting addition to the roster, if you follow the NHL, Eric Staal, who's played over 1,000 games, has a Stanley Cup ring to his credit. He is down here preparing for the Olympics. He has not played all year. He's out of the league, but he is with the NHL players bowing out of the Olympics. Team scrambling to fill those rosters. Eric Staal will be getting a tune-up here for the weekend. So Ben Gislason will join us on the Iowa Wild at about 10:50. 11:05, Tom Kakert. Lots of ground to cover with Tom. Busy morning and evening for the Hawkeyes as the Hoopsters win. Tyler Linderbaum makes it official. He is off to the NFL. And then Dave Sproul on Iowa State. They've got a big one in their own right, a real big one, as Texas pays a visit tomorrow. Hilton Coliseum sold out. Hilton Coliseum tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Fun game last night. Mm-hmm. You were animated on Twitter. Picking fights on Twitter last night. It was a fun game. You know, one of my takeaways on the game, and look, there's still a lot of empty seats.
Yes, yeah.
But you know, it's seemingly not as many.
Right, yeah.
Small it filled in a victory. Little bit
more. Indiana versus Maryland. You know, we're kind of looking at those last two games, right. And the Maryland was at best half full.
Well, but, and it's Indiana, too.
Right, yeah. I mean, you got, 9,000 maybe in there last night. Made a difference, and, you know, as they're making those runs, and you could see the crowd get into it. But, boy, just imagine if you had 15,000 in there as opposed to 9 or 10.
What was it, 15,500 was, I think, is the capacity.
For years, yeah. Down to 15,400 now or something like that. But
now I remember 15,500.
Yes.
Game after game after game. Those days are long gone.
It's a different era.
It is, and you brought up a good point yesterday with the, your vision, I guess, with moving the arena downtown, building a new one. We'll see if that ever happens in our lifetime. I think it has to in our lifetime. We shall see. Anyways, that was fun, Tyler Linderbaum. Let's start there, Trent.
Okay.
I don't want to say it's not a surprise, because the longer that it lasted, and the longer that he wrestled with the decision. I thought that the odds got better every day that potentially he is going to come back because he loves playing at the University of Iowa. But again, I saw him in two mock top tens yesterday. That's huge money.
You just can't say no.
Right?
And it almost feels like a lot like the decision that TJ Hockenson had where he really wanted to come back for another season. And basically the coaching staff and said, you have to go. You're going to be, at the time, thought a top 20 pick.
Right.
And he ends up going to the top 10.
Yeah, 8.
And same thing here with Linderbaum. Uh-huh. Yeah, you'd like to go through senior day ceremonies. It means a lot. He's a Solon kid. All these different things. Grew up a Hawkeye. And that was his dream. You know, we think of dreams and a lot of people just think of the NFL. But for a lot of people, that's not right. It's what their college experience is their dream. And he'll never get that back.
No.
He can go back and if he doesn't have his degree, he can go back and get it. That's not going to be a problem. But that experience, being with your teammates, being with your same brethren. When you're going back when you're 30, 35 years old, whatever it might be, to get your degree, it's just a different experience. Right? I got kids, and it just so much is different that you lose not going through that final
season.
It tugged at him. I don't think there's any doubt about it, but ultimately, he made the right choice.
He absolutely did, Trent. I mean, this is what did I see? If he goes in the top top 10, where do the Giants have the 6 and 8, or they have two picks in the top 10,
yeah,
and they need that. There's seemingly he is connected to the Giants in all of these mocks, or most of these mocks. It's like $15 million signing bonus.
Yeah.
Something crazy like that. So he's doing the right thing. He's doing the right thing. It had to be a difficult decision. And boy, are they going to miss him. And boy, are we going to miss watching him play.
Yes.
Because he's a nasty SOB.
Right.
And you have to be. And that's a big part of his success is his personality. And he's a different cat, obviously, when he's off the gridiron, mm-hmm, as so many are. But boy, when he straps on that chin strap and walks out of that huddle, he just, the switch flips.
Looking across college football to the future. And I had this thought yesterday before the decision came out. We know he wrote a check for $30,000 to the Children's Hospital, the NIL money that he got. Didn't need it, wanted to give it to the children. I mean, just a great gesture, and ultimately know he's going to be paid off in spades because of that. But when we look to the future and a guy that has a decision like this, an Iowa guy, what's stopping come and go? Obviously, big connections to the University of Iowa. Say, you know what? We're not going to give you a six-figure check, $100,000, you know, nice. We're going to give you $1 million.
Well, the kid that transferred, the quarterback that never played a snap at Ohio State, that's now with Texas. He's already cashed in.
Quinn Ewers.
Right, Ewers. He's got $1 million.
In the bank. So what I'm talking, though, on a local
localizing front. It? There's nothing stopping somebody from doing that.
Do you see it happening, though?
Well, what kind of return are you going to get from that person?
The goodwill.
You're getting a lot, yeah.
The Hawkeye fan base says, come and go. You are the ones that kept the next Tyler Linderbaum around.
I'm going to go an extra couple of miles. Casey's is right on the corner. Or Quickstar's just down the street.
Right.
But these, sure.
Will it ultimately pay off that quote-unquote $1 million? Probably not. But I don't know. It was just a thought that was
bandied. But if you do it for one, don't you have to keep doing it?
Once
that person graduates.
Yeah, why couldn't they do it for this guy? They did it for
him.
Because
he's even better.
Right? You get into that.
And we really need him. He's a quarterback.
You're hurting the return on investment when you're doing something like that if you do it for one. But it's going to happen in some front. Maybe not at the links of a Tyler Linderbaum. But a guy maybe more like a Dane Belton. Say Dane Belton was an Iowa too. And I think that is an important part of that.
Right.
You got to have that late local connection. Well, let's look 3 years down the line. Xavier Wampa.
Yeah.
And say Xavier, he's not a first rounder at the time, needs to come back. He'll probably be third, fourth round draft pick, something like that. But you know what? Some company here in Des Moines says, let's see if we can keep him around. Mm-hmm. We're going to make it a little more difficult of a decision for him to go off and play at the next level. Just something to keep in the back of the mind.
So will we see that in the state of Iowa is your question. Yeah, I think to an extent. I don't know if it'll be a million.
Right. And that's kind of the other part.
Right. Just go on, get your cash, and he's going to unbelievable career. Where does he rank? I was looking forward to asking you this amongst the Ferentz offensive line, and there's been a bunch of them. I mean, where do you put him? I know the latest is always the greatest, but in this case, maybe.
I think it's still Gallery.
Gallery, yeah,
it's still Gallery. He is tainted the way his NFL career went.
Yeah, but it's not his fault he was drafted that high.
No, and it wasn't his fault that he was played out of position.
Sure, he moved to guard and look at the career that he had once he got over there.
He was a Pro Bowler.
Uh-huh.
He was really good inside. He was not a left tackle. He would have been, I think, a good right tackle if they would have started there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing back then. You look back 20 years ago, now they put Tristan Wirfs at right tackle because that's his best spot. All right, we're going to plug and play for the next decade. We're happy with that. Back then, though, if you're drafting a guy that high, he had to be a left tackle.
Unless you got a left-handed quarterback on the roster.
Right, exactly.
So did you see Brady, what he said about Wirfs yesterday? Did you see that video piece? Oh, my God. Just sung his praises. Like, yeah, I mean, this Tom Brady, right, is praising his right tackle and his work ethic and how he commands the respect of that locker room. Tristan Wirfs is going to be in this conversation.
We talked about Marshall Yanda and his potential for being a Hall of Famer at the NFL.
Yep.
He was a good college player. He was never at those heights, though. He's not at the heights.
Well, was it because he wasn't here long enough that we,
Probably a part of it, yeah. I think that's a piece.
Uh-huh.
But also, he was good.
Yep.
But not at the level, certainly, that he turned into.
No, the
as
block
a pro.
Against Rashawn Parker maybe elevates him up in some people's right. eyes, because that's a play we remember in college more than any other. But when he got to the pro trench, you're 100% right.
He is a Hall of Famer. Treston Wirfs maybe is trending that way.
He certainly is. I mean, he's 2 years into his career. Look at what he's doing.
And some of the numbers that he put out, really outside of that Monday night game against Khalil Mack and the Bears a season ago where he struggled. He's been outstanding, and every single time that he has been out there, I remember seeing some Pro Football Focus numbers, just the lack of pressures that he's even given up during his career. It's uncharted territory for a guy this young that's playing at that level at the tackle spot. So you're talking about a couple of Hall of Famers, throw Linderbaum in there, Riley Reiff, Brian Bulaga, go way back to
Bulaga's career, Trent, never, I don't think, reached the heights that it would have because he's been so injury-prone.
Yes.
I mean, he's constantly.
Same thing with Reiff.
Uh-huh.
He was hurt again.
Yep.
And he...
He had a nice career. I mean, he's made a lot of money in
the
league.
Yes,
a lot of money.
He can buy a lot of farmland in South Dakota. And maybe already has. Bruce Nelson, criminally underrated.
Yep.
As an interior guy who started at tackle at like 255 pounds his first time out. Of course, moved inside as they built that offensive line. Steinbach's another one that had a great NFL career. We can play this game for a long, long time. Linderbaum's in the conversation.
I think it was all said and done.
It's hard to unseat for me, Gallery, though.
At this point,
Hawkeye.
Okay, so you're just going to stop after he leaves Iowa City?
Right.
Okay, for that conversation, man, Linderbaum, just those downfield blocking, taking guys, play until the echo of the whistle, in some cases after the echo. Just driving guys into the round and seemingly getting a great deal of satisfaction in doing so.
This is a center we're talking about, too. You know, not the big mauler that you're used to as a tackle.
And what did you see? Was it Hassel that tweeted this or retweeted this? You have to go back to 1969 until a center was taken in the top 10 of the NFL draft?
Well, and that's what I asked you is because you love mock drafts and you look at all kinds of them. Is you see these mock drafts really for a center, but you brought up a good point. And just thinking to Kansas City Chiefs. Second round, Creed Humphrey.
Mm-hmm. Look what he's doing.
He's an all-pro. Not a pro bowler, an all-pro, as a rookie. And now you're set for the next decade. Injuries aside, you're good to go. Same thing with Linderbaum, right? I mean, is he as surefire as maybe anybody that you're talking about as a first rounder? Can you see any scenario, again, short of injury, where he is not an elite-level player at the next level?
I can't.
But can you say that?
Athleticism, size,
can you say that with Aiden Hutchinson?
No, in fact, I love Hutchinson. Right?
I do too. But can you say that there's
no
Thibodeau, great athlete.
Same.
But can you say that there's no way he's not going to, he can kind of come up with scenarios.
Yeah.
With Linderbaum, that becomes more difficult.
Right.
And a team like the Giants that have two picks.
And are both apparently going to be used on offensive linemen.
Well, let's take the safe one. There's no way we can screw this one up. Makes a lot of sense.
And if you are doing that, you're using your first of your two picks because you want him to be there. He's going to get paid. He's going to be a top 10 pick at center. I'm convinced of it.
That's wild.
Indeed it is. Athlon's mock draft has him going 9 to Denver.
You'd sign up for that?
I would. I don't think...
You got your quarterback, so you're good.
Keep forgetting about that. We do have our quarterback. All right, the basketball game last night.
Yes.
It was... You know what, Trent? Watching Chris Murray kind of... branch out on his own, get away from his brother in some respect. Dick Vitale, who apparently they refer to differently up the dial, is tweeting about Chris Murray this morning, not Keegan Murray.
Yes,
which was kind of cool to see because Dickie V and get well soon, Dick. Get well soon for what he's done for the game and what he does for children's cancer. Just amazing, this person. But the game itself, I know you had a problem. You've always had a problem. Yesterday was not the first time you had this problem.
Right.
With McCaffrey, as you phrase it, fouling out his own players, and in particular his best player, because Rabracha got back in there a little bit earlier than we thought.
He did, yeah. He came in late in the first half with two fouls and played a little bit. So this is not something that is revisionist history or anything like that. Fran McCaffrey is at the top of the list in college basketball coaches that two-foul participation is what they call it at Ken Pomeroy. This year, I was 297th in participation. Guys playing with two fouls in the first half. Last year, 344th. Remember, there's 355 teams. Right. There were 344th. 300th the year before that. 338. On and on and on. He just doesn't do it. And he's explained it. The question has been asked. This is not, you need to have the beat writers ask the question. It's been asked. And he comes out and he says, I just don't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
My problem with it is, best case scenario last night, you go from up 5 in the game when Keegan exits.
Because that's where they were with about, what was it, 950s, something like that.
Just
around
inside
the midway
of 10
point.
Yep. Yeah. And you go from up 5,
mm-hmm.
things are going well, playing well. He gets that foul, and then the run happens right away.
Yeah.
And here comes Indiana. Not just Indiana regaining the lead. They go up 12.
Mm-hmm.
They won the game. They came back second half. Credit to Iowa. That's not what the conversation is. We're not playing this revisionist history. Conan was an idiot because he said they were going to lose the game. That's not what this is about. This is about the decision and losing a game. And if they would have lost this game, it's very easy to point to that. Where you have a lead, the lead starts to dissipate, and instead of going back to your best player, no, we can't play him because he's got two fouls. And it's happened before. It happened a lot with Luka Garza. It just doesn't make sense. Your best player, you're trying to maximize the minutes for him. And he got 22 out of Keegan.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he picks up that third foul, it doesn't mean he's done for the game. I don't know if Fran thinks that he 33 fouls, you're done. No, no, that's not the way it works. He's still got two more to play with. If that happens, I understand it to a certain extent. Right away, bring him out, two fouls, yes. But when a run happens, you can bring him back in. I just want to see a little bit of wiggle room. But it's Fran McCaffrey. One thing about Fran, he doesn't wiggle. What he believes in,
yeah.
It is going to go. This is not going to change. And guess what? I'm going to still complain about it. He's still going to do his thing. That's how this is all going to play out.
Indeed. McCaffrey was animated last night, was he not, when he picked up the tee? Did you see, was it Ulysses' possession inside 2 minutes when he...
Ulysses didn't pass the ball. You're just dribbling out there down.
And he was going to make. He was going to take that shot.
Didn't have any movement there. It was a terrible offensive set.
But did you
and then
see
bang in the
Spraw's chair? Who was up out of his chair?
Yes.
He slapped it. I mean, hard.
Like four times.
Three. I counted.
Three?
I went back. Yeah, I went back and counted. It was three times. What did Raftery say about him? I wrote it down in my notes. Fran's up again. He's got to be careful.
Yes.
Fran's up again.
There was another great quote from Raftery last night. I got to see if I can find it in my notes, too. But, man, I just love Raftery so much.
Yeah.
And Joe Davis is excellent.
Good. He's very good.
Get him more games.
Voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yes, absolutely. He was really good last
night.
Now,
they weren't there, were they?
I don't think so. We
I
never
don't
got
think
a shot
so
of them.
Either.
And you could see here every once in a while there were those pauses to make sure either Raft was finishing up or Davis was finishing up before Raft to jump in. So I don't think they were together. Yeah, I
right.
think they were doing it remotely, which is always unfortunate.
Yep.
And you wanted to see Raftery hanging out in Iowa City.
Sure, absolutely.
Having about a dozen tonic and waters.
Right.
Vodka water, whatever he drinks.
I think, yeah, after I think it is. But after the game, yeah, no, that's he loves it.
A couple other things. Late in the game, Ulysses came in. Defensive intensity certainly improved. Toussaint had a couple of those stretches that we see from Toussaint. But until the final minute, Toussaint didn't get off the bench.
I saw that.
And I asked at one point, because Bohannon was struggling. He was playing
poorly. Good make shot. Made shot early, and did he make one more? I think he did. Maybe make one more.
Yeah, had that runner. It was the
right,
other shot
right,
that he
right,
made.
Right, 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 yep.
Had the three in the
yep.
first half and,
yep.
and that. And those were the only shots that he made. He wasn't playing well. And I just said, where's Toussaint? Because Toussaint can do so many things. Yes, does he get out of control? Absolutely. But I think you can play at
you
times.
You want to play them together.
Yeah, I think you can do that. Not often. Not 20 minutes a game. But for a four-minute stretch in a game like that where Indiana, the pressure's starting to come, I wanted to see Toussaint out there. And I was surprised. And then Ulysses really hit the skids, and then he finally got pulled out as he finished 0-for-4. We mentioned that bad possession and the turnover in full court when they're doing full court pressure against him, and Toussaint came in. But I was just surprised. 13 straight minutes for Ulysses, it just seemed like a little bit much.
Help me out at the end of the first half. Connor McCaffrey looked like Jon Snow in the Battle of the Bastards. You don't watch Game of Thrones.
No, I don't.
When he was about to take on a whole army. It's a great gif. That's kind of what it reminded me of. So it's that, if you didn't see it, the half ends, and the Indiana bench gets up. They're walking toward the locker room, and all of a sudden, Connor McCaffrey starts walking towards the Indiana the scores table, but that the Indiana end of the scores table. Fair to say? Good description?
Yep.
So it was Connor McCaffrey and all the Indiana players and coaches and one official. What's going on there? Was he after? Did he want to say something to an official?
That's what I think it was. And he wasn't demonstrative. It's not like you saw on that clip that Connor is up there hollering. He's not red-faced like his dad. He's not doing anything like that. He was walking over. And as he was walking over, all of a sudden there was this big kerfuffle. It looked to me like he was going over, yeah, to the official to say something. And probably say something pretty animated. But that's where he was going. But the Indiana team was crossing at the time.
Yes.
Shoulder bump. Somebody says something. And then, of course, it was on from there. How about, though, Ogundele, who was the only other Iowa player? Right away. Yeah. He was right in the middle of things. Yeah.
Well, it was Connor McCaffrey. It was 1-on-15.
Right. You weren't not going to take the odds for many people, and certainly not for Connor in a spot like that. I'd love to see Ogundele do that. And I think that's what it was. He was going to say something to the official. Not a great whistle last night on either side. That was a rough night for that officiating crew.
Yeah, especially the little guy that dyes his hair.
Right.
Right.
That's Billick.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had a tough night. He drew the wrath of McCaffrey and teed up McCaffrey when Fran was teed up. But you know what? A good basketball game and such an important win for Iowa.
It's
such an important win. And here comes Minnesota in winnable game. They've got a chance to put some W's together now.
And now they got this one. We talked about the importance of last night. Two road trips coming up, Minnesota and Rutgers. Two teams that you're better than, but they're both road games.
And Rutgers is a different animal at home.
You get a split.
Yep.
You're feeling pretty good.
What's Curry's situation for Minnesota?
I haven't seen anything. Somebody
couldn't finish the game the other night against Sparty.
And I saw something yesterday that mentioned he was, I think, questionable. I think maybe was the term that was used yesterday. I can't remember exactly what it was.
Refresh my memory, because I'm sure he was. I watched the game. He had to be the leading scorer when he went out for Minnesota in that game, right?
Absolutely. He kept them in the game and really gave them the shot to win that one. So, yeah, we'll see on that one, but he was really good in that game. He's a big body, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's going to be another one. That's a problem, as Trace Jackson Davis was for a long time last night. But how about the Iowa intensity in the second half, getting to the boards, and not just boxing out, but also offensive rebounds? We don't see this team offensive rebounding at a high level.
No.
And they did that, and they got them back in the game last night. So
they out-rebounded Indiana last night.
Which, if you would have told me before the game, in a game that was a tight game, no way.
Right.
No way. They can win it, sure. But they're not out-rebounding this Indiana team with Race Thompson, who's just an absolute bear in there, and Jackson Davis. No, they're not out-rebounding, and they did. They did it a lot with that offensive rebound.
Who they did a lot with? Chris Murray.
Yes.
What a game he played. What a game. Go ahead.
Are we at the point now Chris needs to become a starter? Or do we still need to see a little bit more?
I mean,
you know who has to go to the bench if that happens? It's the coach's kid.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, and he's had his moments, but few and far between. Mm-hmm. Or do you bring him from off the bench? Because, look, he's played his best two games. The last two games have been his best two games of the year. Boy, oh boy, he was so good last night. In every area of the game. Every area. Mm-hmm. He was blocking shots, Trent. He had a couple of blocks in the basketball game.
I think he had three in the game.
Did he have three?
Yeah, he was all over the place, and he was doing it against big guys.
Yes.
You know, another thing, Connor, a couple games ago, it was a struggle. He just didn't play well and played more minutes than he thought he should. Mm-hmm. And we came in last week and said, what's he doing?
Well, he played more minutes yesterday because he had to, I think.
He had to because of the foul trouble. But this is a guy that was a point guard basically his whole life. And he has reinvented himself to a guy that has to help out playing post defense and do it against some talented dudes. And he's given up size and he's given up strength and he's out there.
Well, how about when he stole the ball on the inbound?
Yes. Take it from, he got that one with Race Thompson who just shoved him out of bounds.
Right.
And I just
got the foul and
those little plays.
Animated.
And he hit the three in the first half, but he didn't overshoot. He didn't.
True.
There were a couple other opportunities where he could have squeezed one off, and he didn't.
Because he'd made one, you're thinking to yourself,
I got it going.
Yeah.
Now, knowing,
tonight's my night.
Knowing your limitations. Uh-huh. When Connor does that, he is an important piece to this team.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Fun win. Really good win for the Hawks last night. Good to see that they put one in the win column. So they play Monday. They play Sunday. In fact, Iowa State's 1 o'clock tomorrow. Hawkeyes are 1 o'clock on Sunday. So pretty good early afternoon viewing. If the early NFL game on Sunday gets out of hand, and there's a pretty good chance there will with the Eagles and the Bucks, who knows? Jeff's been very patient. Let's get him in here, then we'll go to break. We'll head to Vegas after that, catch up with Mike Palm. Fire away, Jeff.
Well, here's my thoughts from last night. I kind of watched it from start to finish. Well, we kind of talked about Ulis. My point on Ulis in the second half, I thought he earned his minutes. I think he had three offensive rebounds in a row. Right by the bucket, and then he got the foul line, made them both. He was really pushing the ball in transition. you know, I thought he earned those, whatever Trent said, 10, 12 minutes. I mean, it would have been nice to see him and Joe in there at the same time. But I thought Ulis, like I said, I thought he earned his minutes. You know, and Connor, I know I have a good friend of mine that just dislikes Connor. But you know what? Those two big steals, tip steals in the first half, you guys nailed it with the three-pointer. And when he took that ball out of Indiana's hands and he got kind of pushed or bumped out, he reminds me so much, and some of the listeners might not know who this is. I think you both do. He reminds me of Charles Oakley for the Knicks. Just a bruiser.
Yeah,
he's going to give you everything he's got.
Yeah.
He'll shoot the three of the mid-range, but you need a tough guy like that on every team. Every team.
Absolutely.
Now, yes, can he backtrack and not shoot so many threes? I get it. His three-point percentage, I get all of that. But what he gives you with his pass entry, what he gives you with his grit, his toughness, you need that on a team, period.
Preaching to the choir.
And how about Chris last night? And you guys touched on it a second ago. The guy needs to be starting. I mean, what he did with his post-entry, with his mid-range, with his three, out-rebounding dudes, it was fun to watch. They need a second option scorer. Hopefully he's it. And, man, when you get, I think Indiana had 23 turnovers. You get 23 turnovers
at home.
Did
they have that many? I knew they had a bunch. Was it that many?
So many unforced.
And yeah, they had, I don't know, about 12 or 13 steals. And, you know, if they can get after it, and we all know about the corner threes, but if they can just tighten that up just a little bit, just a little bit.
Yeah, they had that corner three going early against the Hawks, did they not?
And it's hard to watch because even my girls are watching it, and they look at me and they're like, does this happen every game? Did they not make an adjustment? I mean, they're 16-year-old girls, and they're watching. They're
Wait thinking, a second. You're not. You got girls that old? I didn't picture that guy. So how old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay.
And they're watching last night, and it's funny. So Varacha has got two quick timeouts, two quick fouls, and they look at me, and they're like, why is this guy? I mean, he's not working over, you know, the post. He's just sitting back, looks lazy. I mean, this is what they're saying. He looks lazy. And he's like, Dad, why is this guy playing? I mean, and then he sat the first half, and then they're talking about J-Bo. You know, well, they are. They're talking about J-Bo shooting from Cedar Rapids last night, those two quick pulls he had.
Mm-hmm.
And then he bangs one off the backboard when he got, you know, open in transition. You know, I understand we're all talking about J-Bo. Well, he didn't shoot, you know, that much the last game. But then I think he gets a little bit pressured, and he wants to shoot. And now everyone's talking about, well, why is J-Bo jacking one from about 35? So they just got to find a happy medium with J-Bo. But, you know, it's funny when girls or people that really don't watch the game, you know, it's an honest and it's usually a pretty on point, you know, comparison. So I just thought that was interesting.
Jeff, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We got to get a timeout. I'll head to Vegas next. Mike Palm coming up, Circus Sport. Right now, it's time for another $1,000 slam dunk. Text the keyword family to, don't text it. Go to KXNO.com.
There you go.
It's only the first week of this. I'll get it. Go to KXNO.com, and when you get there, enter the word keyword family. That's KXNO.com. Family, your chance to win $1,000. Mike Palm, Circus Sports next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Conditions apply.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Off to Vegas we shall go. Mike Palm joins us from Circus Sports. Hello, Mike Palm. Trent and Ken, how are you?
Good morning, Trent. Good morning, Ken. Just absolutely wonderful. So excited for Super Wild Card Weekend.
Indeed it is. You growing up in the state of Iowa as you did, I'll just let you know that we're going to get clobbered here. The entire state is under a major, major snow watch, so we shall see. And I'm sure you remember those days all too well. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Although it snows, what, how many times? Once every 5 years you get a flurry or two in the desert in Vegas?
Yeah, you might be a little short there. I've been here 16 years, and I've seen it twice.
Okay. Yeah, not very often. So let's get into these games this week, and I think it's going to be fascinating. Look, because there's more games, you guys are going to, I would assume, do more volume. But per capita, wild card games, do they normally? Because I hear from a lot of people that the divisional round is their favorite weekend of the playoffs. How do you guys see that from a business perspective?
Well, the handle per game is going to be real close to divisional round. I think the wild card has grown, especially with adding the games. And now it's going to be interesting to see if the wraparound to Monday has an effect on the handle on that last game, as opposed to if you'd have had three on Saturday and three on Sunday. I hypothesize that it will help it because it's a standalone game on Monday, but others have said maybe not, because there's not going to be as many people in town, obviously, on Monday. Will they bet it before they leave town? We'll see what happens, but no, it'll get bet very heavily, and of course there'll be more handle because simply there's more games this weekend than next weekend.
Well, it all starts, Mike, of course, with the Las Vegas Raiders on the road at Cincinnati. How often do you guys see an onslaught of that quote-unquote public money, Raiders money, just because of the fan base? And got to figure, maybe that's built throughout this season as this team continues to find ways to win.
Yeah, the number, we opened at 6, then it came down to 5.5 on Wednesday, down to 5 yesterday. 5 is an icy number. You can get off of 5 pretty easily. Might get to 5. I think we'll get to 4.5 because we're seeing, you know, it's not to the extent that Golden Knights are out here where they're probably 30 cents off market because of the local fan base. But we're definitely going to continue to see Raiders money here. I think the total's going to tick down too. People are paying attention to the weather in Buffalo and the weather in Tampa. Right. It's going to be cold in Cincinnati. I bet this game under 24.5 first half when it was 49, now 48.5. I think this game will continue to come down, probably close 47 or 46.5. So if you like the under, bet it now. If you like the over, wait till kick.
So what are we expecting in Tampa for weather-wise, Mike? Rain?
Well, and as of yesterday, it was 80 to 90% chance of thunderstorms, winds 18 to 20 miles an hour, gusts up to 35. So not bad temperature. It's going to be in the upper 60s. But if it's a deluge, and we've seen those games in Tampa with deluge, it could definitely impact the game. Maybe in Tampa's favor, because look, the Eagles want to run the ball. Tampa doesn't let anybody run the ball. I think this is a horrible matchup for the Eagles. I think this is the worst team they could possibly play, to have somebody that has that kind of a run defense. If you believe Jalen Hurts can drop back 45 times and cover 8.5, then good for you. I'm not one of those.
You were speculating on Monday, so let me go down this path with you. San Francisco, Dallas, I mean, such a helmet game, right? Two teams that we've seen so many times over the years. Sunday night football, though, it's the Chiefs and it's the Steelers, and I would assume on a normal weekend that game would have done more business than any of them. But because it's Cowboys and Niners, might that be the most bet weekend and the number's so tight? Might that be the most bet game of the weekend?
Niners Cowboys is going to be the most bet game, and I'll bet it's 20% higher than the second highest bet game. This game is shaping up to me, from a betting perspective, a lot like Alabama Georgia on Monday night. I haven't seen a person yet that doesn't like the 49ers here. I think Dallas is a public team, but I think in this spot, the 49ers catching 3 is a very public play, and I think the professionals are going to come in on Dallas here in the next 48 hours and hammer Dallas. That's just my feeling, but it's sort of, to me, shaping up, you know, the square dog, like Alabama was the square dog on Monday, the Niners are on Sunday afternoon.
Saturday night, we got a line move here as it's been stayed pretty consistent, 4, 4.5 throughout the week with New England at Buffalo. See, today at Circa, you guys are now currently Bills -5. Is it a big bet? Is it a multitude of bets coming in? What moved that line? Buffalo now laying the 5.
We took several mid-5-figure bets on this game, and we're not really seeing that much Patriots money. I think the Patriots are going to be in teasers. I think people are going to tease the Patriots up over 10. They're going to think Belichick's going to play this game, you know, pretty conservatively with a rookie quarterback and try to keep it close. With bad weather in Buffalo the first time, we know what happened. They only threw 3 passes, and they were able to run the ball. It's such a dichotomy. The second game in Foxborough, there were no punts. Combined, they went for 4th down 10 times. They played so aggressively. Will they continue, these coaches, to be this aggressive in a playoff format? I don't know. we'll see if we get any buyback at five on the Patriots.
With all of the NFL games, the wild card games, six of them this weekend, including Monday night, what kind of business will you see? Like a normal Saturday of college basketball or the NBA on Saturday night, you do a brisk business. But with the NFL, does it bring more people who are looking to spend more money and bet other games? Or what do the books typically see on a night like that that has the spotlight on the NFL and seemingly the undercard the other sports?
Yeah, it'll help the handle on college basketball a lot tomorrow. We're sold out on Sunday. There's no seating at all available in the book on Sunday. There's still a couple seats. Now, we're selling the side seats as well, right? Those stadium seats. And they're sold out on Sunday as well. There's some available on Saturday. I think only one booth available on Saturday. So, I mean, it's pretty amazing.
That's absolutely great and great to see. And for people that are heading to Vegas here soon, you have to experience Circa.
For sure.
It is incredible in the sports book that they have. Mike, as we continue through these games, I got a question for you. We're squares. We're not pro bettors by any means. And we like to play teasers or money line parlays. What do you prefer on those? I know during the mega pod that you do every week, you guys do your two-team teaser every week. What do you prefer, a teaser or just going with a money line parlay?
You know, I like to do the teaser, but you got to look at it. I mean, it's different. I mean, if you have a team that you like that's 5.5 or 6, you're probably going to try to create a money line parlay instead of a teaser. You don't want to tease through the zero.
Right.
But then again, you know, how do you attack the Chiefs game? Do you really want to lay 750 if you like the Chiefs?
No.
But some will tell you don't tease down. You know, who cares when you cross the 10? It doesn't really matter. You know, you got to cross the 3 and the 7, but I don't believe that. I will have the Chiefs and teasers ticket for me this week, and I don't think it just has to be that, 1.5 to 7.5, 7.5 to 1.5 to play a teaser.
Mike Palm, Circa Sports, Circa in the state of Iowa. Mike, is today the day you're going to make a whole bunch of millionaires or give out some million-dollar checks? Are your winners coming in from Survivor and the handicapping contest?
Yeah, we make 6 new people millionaires tonight at the 6:30 Pacific Ballroom at the D. We're going to have these. It's amazing how many folks are coming. I just spoke to Jeff Benson last night. I think we have all 5 survivors are going to be there, and 6 of the top 10 in the Circa Millions 3. So, and then a couple of the people that won in the fourth quarter, and a couple guys that finished in the top 20 that are going to be there that said, hey, can we come to the cocktail party too? And we said, sure. We moved it. We actually had it in a room for about 50, and we said, no, there's going to be more than 50 between media, between the people who won and the friends and family they're bringing, and our staff. So we moved it to the ballroom at the D where we can accommodate, obviously many more people. So we're excited to do that, and I'll get to interview them and kind of ask about their strategy, what were the close calls during the year, and how they wrapped up. But, I mean, they're all amazing stories.
Well, Trent and I are scoping out event centers, if you will, rooms to do that next year, where our state of Iowa contest, as long as we get as many customers as needed. Circa Sports in the state of Iowa. You can download the app at the App Store. Mike Palm, Circa Sports, thank you. Have fun tonight. Sounds like you guys will have a very busy weekend at Circa in Las Vegas and hopefully on the app as well. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you next week.
Yep, talk to you next Friday. Good to talk to you. Mike Palm from Circa. We'll get a timeout. Head downtown, Wells Fargo Arena. There is an NHL player with a whole lot of pedigree in town tonight.
Yeah, Stanley, that's a cool story.
It is a cool story. Eric Staal has been given a professional tryout. You don't often go to the AHL at the end when you've played 1,000 games like that and have a cup, unless you're really trying to hang on. He's trying to get in shape and make the Canadian Olympic team. Go, Eric Staal, go. He'll be here. The Wilder in town tonight, tomorrow, and then Monday afternoon for a matinee affair. So just real quick.
Yeah.
The KXNO slate Monday.
Yes.
Morning Rush, they never take a day off.
No, absolutely not.
So they'll be here.
Yep.
We are going to be here.
Well, we won't be here.
Oh, we're going to be at
We're going to be at the Chicken Coop. So next Monday, maybe you're taking a half day off or just looking for a great lunch.
We'll be in Urbandale.
We'll be at the Urbandale location. It's on Meredith. New exit also for Meredith. You're going to like that, making your way from Ankeny. That's very good. So pop on over there. We'll be there, of course, doing our show 10 to noon. Doors open at 11 o'clock, but come in, stop by for lunch or taking the day off and getting ready for the first ever Monday Night Football playoff
about
game.
That? Well, one of the reasons we're working is because we had to, Mr. Monday Night, we just can't, we had to give you one more opportunity. But no afternoon programming, right?
Right, because of the Wild
because
game.
Because of the Wild. Yep. Murph and Andy are off, and the Fanatics will be off on Monday. So locally here on Monday, just the morning shows, The Morning Rush and Miller and Condon. It's 10:45. Ben Gislason from the Wild next. They got a busy weekend down there. Military night tonight. Eric Stahl in town and games tonight, tomorrow, and on Monday afternoon. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.5.
MyLasicOffer.com.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Coming up in the second hour of the program, Tom Cakert on Iowa, Dave Sprow on Iowa State. Give you an opportunity to win barbecue from Claxons. And our picks before we get out of here at noon. Let's head to Wells Fargo Arena, shall we? Pretty big weekend in store down at the Well. The Wild with a three-game set this weekend, tonight, tomorrow, and then a matinee on Monday. Ben Gislason joins us. And part of that roster here this weekend, Eric Stahl, who's played just shy of 1,300 games in the NHL. That is quite a feat. A Stanley Cup winner, won Olympic gold in 2010 in Vancouver. Boy, oh boy, that's a hell of a resume, Ben Gislason. How are you?
I'm great, Kenny. Great to be on at the air this morning and to talk some hockey on a great day for hockey with the forecast and so much snow coming down. We hope that maybe it'll linger a little bit so we can get some fans out here tonight. But excited to have a couple of games this weekend against the Chicago Wolves. And certainly, like you said, excited to have a man with a rap sheet like Eric Stahl in the lineup for us, and especially for a team that's missed some centers this year. Yep. We've had some call-ups and some injuries that have left us void of a lot of center icemen. And, I mean, he is arguably one of the best center icemen to play in the last 15, 20 years of hockey. So to have him around even at an older age is pretty special.
No doubt about it. So what's his plan? Will he play in all three games? How long will he wear the Iowa Wild sweater before he, I guess, heads to Canadian Olympic training camp, which apparently is the plan?
Yeah, I think he is going to be here through all of our home games, which we've got four over the next 7 days, so a tough stretch of games here for this Wild club, and he'll obviously be a friendly face to put into the lineup for us in that stretch. So we've got tomorrow night, tonight, and then Monday and Wednesday, with one of those games being a rescheduled game due to a postponement against the Manitoba Moose back before the holiday break. So he'll be here, I believe, for all those games, and I don't know right now if his plan to come to Colorado with us would be intact or not, which we fly out at the end of next week to head to play the Eagles. But we should have a good dosage of Eric here for the next four games.
So we've gone through this last month plus now with a lot of changes. Of course, Olympics are now off the table. Has that impacted you guys with the Iowa Wild as it pertains to scheduling and looking forward as they put more games in there? Got to figure there's probably going to be some more call-ups that come along with it. How impactful has this last month been to you guys with the Iowa Wild?
The gravity of it has been just huge. When you look at the course of a season and you're an affiliate team, you obviously understand that you're going to lose key players. And even in the course of a normal season before COVID changed the world forever, that was the case. But now when you look at what has transpired, especially up in Minnesota, I think it was last week they had a game where they were missing 10 or 11 of their regular players, half due to COVID, half due to injury. And so normally you're looking at the season going like, well, hey, you know, five players is a lot because of mainly injury at the time. And now all of a sudden you tack on, if you usually double that call-up number, if COVID's rearing its head like it has over the last month and a half, 2 months here, all of a sudden things look pretty staggering for your lineup. And you talk to Tim Army about it, our head coach, and he is such a positive guy, and he's right. They're not making excuses for it, but it's impossible to look at the last stretch of games for this Iowa Wild team and think that things would have looked a lot different if we had Connor Dewar, who is definitely our top center, if we had Kalen Addison, who's our top offensive defenseman. We haven't seen these guys for a long time, and yes, under normal circumstances, they would have probably been up and down from Minnesota quite a bit, but they wouldn't have made probably the sustained stays that we've seen them make in Minnesota, which is great, obviously, for these players, and that is the end goal. But when you count on that to begin the season, when you have an idea of what you think things are going to look like, and then all of a sudden things change on a dime like they have so often for us recently, it really tests your depth, and it tests your mettle, and it tests your ECHL affiliate. And we've seen a lot of call-ups from our ECHL team in Coralville this season, too, and We're still in good shape. We're still right around 500 and knocking on the door of third place in the Central Division, so that's the good news. But we need to get some horses back in the stable here sooner than later, try to put some wins back in the win column.
You've been very active in the community, too. The organization has. I saw you cutting the ribbon at a couple more of those outdoor rinks. How many do you have now, and where are the latest? Where have the latest couple been opened?
Yeah, it's just a fantastic initiative with Wells Fargo, who works in conjunction with us on those community rinks. We were in Newton, Iowa yesterday, and then Altoona, Iowa yesterday, putting up those community rinks. And it's something that is just so near and dear to the organization. And it's something that when I've spoken with, whether it's Todd Fredrickson, the president or vice president of business operations, Allie Brown, saying, why has this team stuck? Why didn't the Iowa Stars stick? Why didn't the Iowa Chops stick? Is there one reason? Because there's a bevy of reasons of why, but is there one main reason? And they both say it's the community involvement. And that's been a key piece for the Iowa Wild since its inception. And the community rinks portion of that community outreach, I think that's the shining example of it. It's getting kids onto the ice, getting parents and adults onto the ice, and giving people a sense of community and a place to gather. And in today's world, especially doing it outdoors, which, you know, is deemed much safer than gathering indoors, is a great thing, especially with the winter months ahead here now that we have, for people to be able to get outside, to be active, to be in community, and to have some fun and to grow the game. That's what it's all about.
No question about that. So 6 o'clock tonight and tomorrow?
Yes, correct. Early goings, which for a broadcaster who usually burns the midnight oil post-game getting ready for the next game, it'll be nice that I can maybe get home before midnight tonight.
Indeed. I see $2 beer night, 100.3 the bus involved, of course, military appreciation night, and an afternoon affair with Milwaukee. The puck drops at 2 o'clock. There's an NHLer in town with a Stanley Cup ring and a gold medal around his neck, although he probably left those at home. But nonetheless, he will be here with just shy of 1,300 games in the NHL. Eric Staal be a good addition to the team. Of course, played with the big club for 5 years, I want to say, part of his long, long, long career. Ben Gislason, have fun this weekend. Thank you, Ben.
You're a treat, Kenny. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep, good to talk to you. Thank you, Ben. Ben Gislason, as we talk a little Iowa Wild hockey. You got to build those outdoor rinks. It's great that they are.
Yeah.
It really is. Good for them. Good for them.
All over the place.
Yep.
Love seeing the ice. I know you love it.
I do.
And where was I driving just the other day? I saw a rink got it kind of...
Did you?
Yeah, up in Urbandale.
Nice.
I think it was maybe a tennis court.
Yeah.
Had it frozen up.
All right.
Couple guys out there with their sticks.
Yeah, you can't beat it. Tom Kaker kicks off hour number two. Miller and Condon, Dave Sproul, and the Clones as well. It's 106.3 KXNO.